Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 12th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy OA Jr., and joining me is the force that is Gary Witta. Gary, how are you doing this morning?
I like your nickname for me better than Greg's. I like
Thank you.
Force.
That's what
better
people
than
have been
the Rogue one, I think. That was good, but like maybe it's time for something new.
Yeah, time for something fresh. So far, I feel like I'm 3 for 3. People have been saying they like my nickname for Imran. They like my nickname for Tim.
Are those nicknames?
Tim Motherfucking Geddes, and then Imran the Don Khan, and so things that roll off the tongue. And so I'm still waiting. I know I'm gonna host with Greg soon. I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do for Greg.
I have a Tim story from yesterday.
Really? Yesterday. Yeah.
So we had a random Tim encounter. So my wife, in fact, let me get this out of the way right away. It's my 7th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
To my wife today, the lovely to Leah, I extend all the love and gratitude in the world for putting up with me for the better part of 15 years, maybe more. We've been married for the last 7, and today's our anniversary, and couldn't be happier about
That's awesome.
So Leah was at the local mall yesterday, and she was wearing a Kinda Funny T-shirt, and as she often does.
Nice.
And Tim Geddes walked by her and said, "Hey, great T-shirt!" Like she was just a fan and didn't recognize who it was.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, so we had a close encounter of the Tim kind. I think it's because his eyes are still fucked up.
Oh yeah, that's true. He still can't see anything.
That would be his excuse, I think.
What was her response
Did you guys be like, "Hey"?
I wasn't there. Oh. I heard about this from Leah. She was on the phone, so she didn't get to like fully engage with him. But he just kind of walked by and went, "Hey, great T-shirt! Like he's a rock, like a bit of a
rock
star."
That's awesome.
Which you know, that's his right.
That's
and
hilarious.
She just said, "Okay." And she recognized it was Tim, but she was on the phone. She didn't go, "Thanks, Tim." But
So like, what would you do if you saw someone with a Twitch? Your Twitch shirt.
What would I do? I would acknowledge it. I would say, "Hey, I like that T-shirt. I'm a fan of that channel."
And it's just like Jen, who's like walking by.
By the way, after a 2-week break, I am back on twitch.tv/GaryWitta tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what are you streaming?
I don't know yet. We'll figure it out as we go. I never know. I never have a plan. It's like when I show up here, I don't have a plan. I know what the news is when you put it in front of me 2 minutes before we go on the show.
Gary, I'm happy you're here for 2 reasons. Actually, 3 reasons now. One, because of an obscene thing we did right before the show.
I don't think it was obscene. I think it was Kinda Funny, which is very on brand.
Which, are we going to say, do we want to say what it is, or do we want to save it?
Well, I think we should tease it a little bit.
Well, I mean, I've talked about ScreenFast.
Oh, you have spoken about ScreenFast?
I've told people about ScreenFast.
So ScreenFast is this Friday.
Yeah.
We're all, you, me, now, Blessing, and Tim are going to review Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, right?
I've been out a lot this week.
Right.
Because of this back injury that I have.
You have a back injury?
Yeah, I don't know. It just started hurting. I went to a chiropractor. I mean, I was...
Can you call it an injury, though?
I mean, now I can. I hurt my neck on the other side. Now I can't move. Look at me. This is how I turn now.
You look like Batman in the first Batman. Dark Knight movie. And Batman Begins.
Also, like any normal man probably laying on their back right now. You know?
So this morning... I'm not going to go into the details. We want to save
really
it.
So really quick, I don't know that we're going to have a special intro for it.
Really?
ScreenFast?
I haven't had time to request it from anyone.
Are you telling me that ScreenFast or that Sonic the Hedgehog
all that tells me is that it's a low priority for you.
No.
Because you've obviously
like,
got time to do other things.
Well, last time, who was it? It was Roger that sent in some assets for it, and we utilized them. This time, nobody sent assets.
Can we at least change the C to an F? Can you do that?
I'll talk to Nick about it, but, you know.
Wow, yeah, because, I mean, that does sound like a lot of work. Yeah. That's a major undertaking.
So that's the first reason I'm happy here is for some of the preparation we did for ScreenFast. Number two, I'm happy you're here because we did go see Sonic the Hedgehog together. And I feel
we
like
did.
That's
we saw
closer.
It last Saturday morning.
Yeah,
right?
We can't actually. Kevin, can we say anything about it yet?
The embargo is Wednesday at 10 p.m.
I already said on Twitter that
so
I 15 really.
Minutes ago.
I said I didn't do a detailed review, but I did reveal to the world that I really liked it.
I'm gonna reiterate what I have been saying. Take your date.
Which,
to see
by the way,
Hedgehog.
Everyone else was doing. I checked Twitter and like the embargo. No one gives a shit about that.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
I got a paper from these people that invited us to the screener.
I didn't sign anything.
It's not about signing anything. It's just all right. Next time we got a movie screener, I guess maybe we'll have to think about twice about bringing you.
Well, maybe I will, Kevin.
All right then.
Maybe I'll think about twice before I go to a movie with you.
Maybe.
And that's fine with me. So I came in this morning, and within 5 minutes. I had convinced Kevin to buy a sex toy using the Kind of Funny credit card from a website called loveplugs.com.
We're not sponsored.
And I was very excited
but
about it.
But we can
it.
Be.
Convinced or bullied?
I didn't bully you. I'm blessing. Where are you? Just remind me where
Kevin
you stand on
very,
this.
Kevin seemed very excited about that, that butt plug.
That is not the truth. I was totally opposite where it's like, I don't know if this is appropriate.
It's not appropriate. But again.
That's what makes it great.
It's comedy. It's going to make great comedy on Friday. You're going to love it. And the audience is going to love it.
Also, it's appropriate because it's Valentine's Day.
That's, oh my yeah. God. That's we right. We'll be that, doing it on Valentine's Day.
We're doing
Day.
It on Valentine's Day. So
that's right.
There are layers to this.
That's right.
And then number three, or third reason why I'm happy you're here is because it's not. It's been since the last time you were here that Greg mentioned or even thought about the Japan trip. I've been thinking about it, but
did
nobody's really been bringing
did
it up.
Did you see my tweet from yesterday?
I did see it
from
yesterday.
Oh, my God. Like, how can you not go?
I feel like we got to push harder because Greg is trying to forget about it.
You
Greg's
can't.
Like,
he's
to bring it up.
He thinks that if he just rides this out, that the Kind of Funny best friends Wait. Will sweep this under the carpet. We cannot let this happen.
Exactly.
Greg's in Vegas this week hosting the DICE Awards. Don't let him forget this. Kind of Funny best friends, tweet him right now at Game Over Greggy.
Yes.
Tell him that the kind of funny, maybe that's where he can be at Easter.
Yeah, that's
the kind of funny best friends want Greg to send the Kind of Funny team to Japan
please.
For the Super Mario theme park. And I've already agreed and offered to pay for Kevin's ticket out of my own pocket. So I feel like I've made a very magnanimous gesture in getting the ball rolling. Greg, it's time for Greg to sack up, basically.
The ball's in your court, Greg
The
Miller.
Ball is in your court, Greg Miller.
Today's stories include Microsoft and Samsung's unholy union, Jeff Keighley and E3's holy divorce, and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, David Mintel, Muhammad Muhammad, the nanobiologist, Frank Furter, Shiriz Razak, Patrick.
Sounds like a character from Destiny or something.
Yeah, it seems like a Prince of Persia kind of
yeah.
thing. Patrick Higgins, Travis Austin Gajkowski, Drew Gardner, Dominic Shorter, Ginny Burnt, Joseph Solar, and Katie Gallagher.
That's thank a longer you. List of Patreon producers.
Yeah, it's
picked up some producers. It
yeah, it's because
like.
Of our January push. Thank you, everybody, for being so supportive in the month of January.
That's great.
Helping people get hired, people like me, helping us reach toward that new studio. It's all because of you, and so thank you. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, Mint Mobile, and Spotify, the besties. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
Oh, before I forget.
Baker's Dessert!
Because I said I would do this every week, trying to keep myself honest. I lost half a pound since the last weigh-in.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations.
So it's starting to, as you expect, like especially like on a keto diet, like you lose a lot of weight really quickly, and then it starts to level off. So I'm kind of in the leveling off phase, but continuing to head in the right direction.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, let's just say we have six stories because that's gonna be our first story.
That's clearly the biggest Gary's story in gaming news this week.
Let's see.
The second biggest story?
Microsoft and Samsung, Gary. So Microsoft and Samsung are partnering on an Xbox cloud-based streaming. I'm pulling this from Tom Warren at The Verge. Samsung launched its new Galaxy S. This says S20, but that doesn't sound right.
No, that's right. It's the S20.
Yeah, I think they didn't want to do like S11 or whatever. You know, they wanted to just jump forward.
Jump forward by 10 numbers?
Yeah.
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 It is
beautiful. Look, Microsoft skipped Windows 9. Apple skipped the iPhone 9.
Yeah, but like...
You know, the Xbox went from the Xbox One to Xbox 360 because they didn't want to be stuck with Xbox 2 while PlayStation 3 was around because it would make them feel like they were behind. It's, you know, it's all branding. It's all bullshit. Absolutely.
Yeah,
people get paid
strange.
Real money for this.
So is the next one going to be the S30?
Nobody knows.
Oh, what if we call it the S20?
The S100.
Johnson, you're a genius!
yes.
Million dollar bonus.
Wow. Samsung launched its new Galaxy S20 and Galaxy Z Flip smartphones yesterday, but the company also broadened its Microsoft partnership at the same time. Samsung and Microsoft are teaming up on a cloud-based game streaming service, and it's likely this will involve xCloud appearing on Samsung devices in the future. Quote, "This is just the beginning of our gaming partnership with Xbox," explained David S. Park, head of Samsung's U.S. marketing, as he unveiled Microsoft's Forza Street game for Galaxy devices. Quote, "Both Samsung and Xbox share a vision for bringing great gaming experiences to mobile players around the world. With our 5G-enabled portfolios and Microsoft's rich history in gaming, we are working closely together to create a premium cloud-based game streaming experience. You'll hear more about it later this year," end quote. Microsoft confirmed the partnership in a statement to The Verge, but both companies have offered very little details on exactly what this will mean for the future. Quote, "Having partners join us on our journey to delivering high-quality game streaming to players is the utmost importance," says Kareem Chowdhury, Microsoft's Project xCloud chief, in a statement to The Verge. Quote, "We've seen positive feedback from Project xCloud preview participants testing a range of Galaxy devices, and it'll only get better as we continue to work closely with Samsung on refining the experience. It's an exciting time to be working on Project xCloud, and we can't wait to share more about our work with Samsung later this year," end quote. It's clear that this is related to xCloud somehow, rather than the type of partnership we saw Sony embark on with Microsoft for fundamental access to the company's Azure cloud-based architecture. Microsoft and Samsung partnered last year to bridge Android and Windows closer together with tighter integration of apps like OneDrive and your phone into Samsung's devices. Microsoft and Samsung designers are also working in the same rooms on part of this project as both companies look to benefit from better software integration. Gary, does this do anything for you?
Nah.
No?
I mean, like, that was a lot of corporate press release speak. Like, whenever you or anyone else starts going on about 5G-enabled portfolios and Microsoft's rich history in gaming, you just start to sound like the teacher from Peanuts to me.
It's definitely, there's definitely like a bunch of fluff in here in marketing speak.
It's a lot of marketing bullshit. The thing, what I take away from it is, it's a little, you know, as an iPhone user, I'm not alone, there's many of us out there, we are legion, many iPhone people around the world. Are you an Android guy, aren't you, Kevin? See, that's why I don't like texting you. Those green bubbles piss me off.
Me and Blessing.
Yeah.
I hate texting people on Android phones. Those,
that's like the
bubbles.
One downside, though, is that
I like a nice blue bubble.
Don't let them say this shit to us. Our blue bubbles,
I get it from everybody, though. I can't text anybody.
Wait, what does it look like on your end?
Normal.
What's normal? What does that mean? What do
you
mean?
Like text messages.
It just looks like a text message.
But what color is the bubble?
There's no bubble.
What?
There's no bubble. There's no bubble.
It depends on, because I use a third party app, and so I have it so that I do get bubbles.
It's the Wild West over there in the Android world. Here's the point I wanted to make.
There is a bubble. It's gray and blue.
Gray. Yeah. Oh, how exciting.
I can change the bubble.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
That's the thing about Android is that you have the customization that you want. You can do whatever you want.
I can go in there and make the bubble whatever goddamn color I want.
I do like the customization. Somebody showed me a chat app that they had where they had skinned it to look like the Persona 5
my little brother
text client.
That
was really cool.
Yeah.
Here's my point, though. Like, so with Stadia, locked to Pixel devices only, which is a very small part of the ecosystem overall. It's not even Android. It's just the Pixel phones. And now here we're saying that they're saying that Microsoft service might at least initially only be available on Samsung phones. I get it. They do these corporate partnerships. Everyone makes money. But it doesn't feel very consumer friendly. Like, when is this going to be available to everyone? When am I going to be able to play Stadia or xCloud on my iPhone? It's no love for us right now.
Am I wrong? Isn't xCloud available now as a beta for all Android devices?
I don't know about all. It's definitely available for beta, but I don't know to what extent.
It certainly works fine
devices.
On my phone.
I'm not saying that it's going to be limited only to Samsung devices, but it sounds like if you want the best experience or premium experience, they're going to lock that into Samsung
because Samsung paid
them a bunch of money or vice versa.
But it could also be not necessarily they're paying them a bunch of money. It could also be that right now maybe the 5G mobile devices that are incorporating 5G antennas that would support this sort of gameplay are on Samsung.
Sure,
phones.
But Samsung doesn't have a monopoly on 5G radios.
No,
plenty
but
of
like
other
right
phones out there are going to have
their
that.
Flagship that they just put out.
Oh my God, that I watched the video. You know Marcus Brownlee, he does the tech reviews. I like his videos.
Yeah.
He did a review of that the Ultra version.
It's so cool.
Ridiculous.
$1,500, but my God.
It's mad.
108 megapixel camera.
That's nutty. That is nutty.
What does that even mean? 100 times optical zoom? What?
Amon M writes in and says, with the announcement that Microsoft and Samsung are, quote, just beginning their gaming partnership, where do you think we could end up in the next few years? xCloud being installed on every new Samsung phone and TV would be huge moves for accessing millions of new potential customers. According to Statista, I've never heard of that site. Samsung held almost 19% global market share in the smartphone market in Q4 2019.
That's impressive when you consider how fragmented the Android world is. There's so many
there's so many options. But yeah, I have a Galaxy S10 and I've been using Galaxy
Samsung
S10 for a while.
I'm presuming Samsung is the biggest player in Android,
that would be my assumption.
I don't know if that's true. Give me a second.
Really?
Check, yeah.
Yeah, check on that.
I mean, maybe it's Huawei or something, you know, in the US at least. Mm-hmm. I would say Samsung's got to be.
That would be my
biggest
assumption, but maybe there might be some other manufacturer.
Maybe
that,
you're wrong.
That's able to come through,
look into it for us.
With like cheaper prices or something. And according to Technavio, Samsung is the largest TV manufacturer with over 20% of the market. This would put Xbox in the hands of more potential players than PlayStation Now access on Sony smartphones and televisions could. Is this the beginning of a strategic mismatch for PlayStation? What other elements of this partnership do you think are possible? And do we think that this is a move for Microsoft to hedge against Stadia integration into Google Pixel devices and Android more broadly? Thanks and have a great Wednesday.
I mean, I think it would be to Samsung's advantage to say, hey, and Samsung phones are the only place to get Microsoft xCloud, or at least like the premium version of the experience.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, if I'm an Xbox game, like I'm an iPhone guy and I'm an Xbox, I mean I all consoles, but I slightly prefer the Xbox. Mm-hmm. And if Samsung were to say, hey, we're the only company, we're the only phone that you can get premium xCloud experience, I mean I wouldn't do it. I would never have an Android phone, but I would be at least on the fence about it. That would be compelling.
Yeah. I think the idea of every Samsung device coming pre-installed with Xbox xCloud,
right,
I think that'd be a huge win. And even in Amon's question here, he's referencing competition against PlayStation Now. I think they're, like, as far as competition in this space, I think PlayStation Now is barely a factor. I think they could be a factor in the future if PlayStation Now continues to improve and continues to
build that.
Here we
go. Top Android phone manufacturer. Samsung by a mile. Huawei is, like, way behind.
God.
Yeah.
Way behind.
42%?
Wow, I'm...
Who the hell made the...
Like, there are names I don't know that
like
are above,
Xiaomi
like
and Oppo
and,
companies you don't even really think about. Because this is outside of the U.S. Can you do it just by the U.S.?
Well, I mean,
or this has got to be worldwide.
I mean, wouldn't worldwide matter?
Amlogic, I've never even heard of. LG, Motorola.
Yeah, like, if you see, like, Sony's down there. In,
but look,
like,
I mean, Samsung is, like, far and away.
Oh, yeah.
That's saying 43.6% of the Android space. So, yeah. And that does make sense. It would be, like, 90% of the... Once you factor in the iPhone as well, because iPhone's a good chunk of the market.
Yeah,
the
so
43% of the Android market equals like 90% of the phone market overall.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And so with that idea in mind, I think
they're just running away with it.
It makes complete sense what this partnership is out here to do.
Not for exclusivity though, because even though Samsung's the number one player, 90% of the overall market is not enough, right? You want to be on all of them.
Of course. Yeah, and I don't think this article mentions exclusivity anywhere. Like I didn't get a hint of anything pointing toward the idea that they're going to be exclusive. But the idea that they could have a deal where you are getting Samsung devices, like Samsung TVs, even like Amon,
right. That's,
you know, wrote
cool.
It with
have
the
an
stats.
App. They have an xCloud app built right
yeah,
into the
built
TV.
Right into the TV. You know, that's
compelling
perfect right there.
And it won't be exclusive, but they can say if you have a Samsung device, this will offer the best experience.
Yeah. And I think that messaging for them could go a long way, and I think that is what makes this partnership make complete sense. But yeah, as far as like them communing with let's see, is this the beginning of a strategic mismatch for PlayStation? I think it's already been kind of a strategic mismatch from the get-go, because PlayStation Now didn't necessarily have...
What does that mean, a strategic mismatch for PlayStation?
I think what Amon is getting at is the idea that this would then... Like when you look at the numbers compared to, say, Sony phones and Sony TVs, like Samsung dwarfs those numbers. And so I think that's what Amon is getting at. But I think that's already...
That's a problem, because here's the thing. Mm. So Stadia has a natural partner with Android and more specifically Pixel phones, right?
Yes.
You understand why that's all kind of under one roof.
Yeah.
Microsoft doesn't have any presence in the phone market anymore because they tried and they failed. Now they're just out. And they just said, we'll support Android now. So it makes sense for them to partner with the number one player in the Android market. Yeah. Sony has a natural partner in its consumer electronics division, but like but that's small time.
Yeah, that's
like
the
who
thing.
Has a Sony phone? Who has a Sony TV? Not that many people.
Yeah, that's the thing. And
they might need to find an external partner.
That's why I think like this is less in competition with Sony and more in competition with Stadia, if anything, right? Like Stadia having like Google Pixel being a thing, not nearly as big of a thing as Samsung with Android, right? And Google Stadia kind of having a certain amount of mind share with the streaming space. I think that's where the competition is at. Even though it seems more and more by the day, Stadia is kind of eating their own lunch, right? They're kind of tripping over their own feet with each passing kind of decision and news story we see about Stadia not working or making bad decisions or doing AMAs that don't tend to work out well for them. Like, Project xCloud seems to be doing all the right things. And, there's even another news story coming up about another streaming service that, this space currently is kind of messy and it's kind of fun to watch because we're seeing people kind of climb over each other and try to become that number one spot, whether it is in like Mindshare or like even in the partnerships and actually getting like the apps on whatever devices you have, whether you like it or not. So far, it seems like xCloud and I'd say probably NVIDIA GeForce are kind of... NVIDIA GeForce, surprisingly, are kind of like the two front runners for what services are going to end up successful in this thing. But even then, like I could see a future where like nobody comes out on top because this is video game streaming is still hasn't become as cemented of a thing yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's gonna just be in like another iteration of the platform wars. There's no one clear. I mean, Sony's kind of a clear winner right now, but Microsoft is still like really in the game. Nintendo's obviously a bigger deal than it's like a three horse. There's three very healthy horses in that race. Maybe Sony needs to give Tim Cook a call, do an exclusive iOS team up. Hey, the best way to get an exclusive PlayStation experience, PlayStation streaming, is on the iPhone. Because think about it. Apple and Microsoft are rivals. They can't work together, I don't think. Samsung and Apple are rivals. They can't work together. Mm-hmm. Sony and Apple, though, they don't have any particular beef. Maybe they should team up.
I'm not crazy. There are Sony phones, right?
Yes.
Do they run Android?
Yes.
The Sony phones.
But they only have a very tiny market.
They are some of the most beautiful phones.
Every time I see one, like the new Sony. Remember the Xperia phones? Do they still have those?
I think the new one's called like
The industrial design on Sony phones is gorgeous.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
They have always run like shit.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Absolutely run like shit. That being said, the latest one that came out, which I can't remember the model number right now, but like that phone... unfortunately, it doesn't work for Sprint. Otherwise, that'd be the phone I use. That's the prettiest screen I've ever seen on a phone. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Mm. They're still plugging away, but they're not a big player.
Just does not work with Sprint.
So that's the point. They need to either just put it out there equally for everyone and say, hey, look, this will work. It will support all devices. Or they need a partner, the same way that Microsoft has found a partner in Samsung. Apple might be their best bet.
I can see it. Number two. Jeff Keighley isn't producing E3 Coliseum this year. This comes directly from Jeff Keighley's Twitter. He tweeted this as I was prepping the show, and as he tweeted,
he did that thing where he types out a note in the notes app.
Yeah, he went to the notes app, screenshotted it, and posted an image of it. And so I'll read it verbatim. He writes a statement from Jeff Keighley on E3. For the past 25 years, I have attended every electronic entertainment expo. Covering, hosting, and sharing E3 has always been a highlight of my year, not to mention a defining part of my career. I've debated what to say about E3 2020. While I want to support the developers who will showcase their work, I also need to be open and honest with you, the fans, about precisely what to expect from me. I've made the difficult decision to decline to produce E3 Coliseum. For the first time in 25 years, I will not be participating in E3. I look forward to supporting the industry in other ways and at other events in the future. Gary Whitta, is E3 dead?
It may be moribund.
Stop using words we don't know.
I've used that word so many times on this show, Kevin, because it's like one of my favorite words, and it always like seems appropriate. I wish that Jeff had provided some
more
context here.
Yeah,
like
why
the most important question is always why.
Yeah,
and he said nothing about the why.
Yeah, and he said that he'll reply to some people on Twitter and give more context if people want to do like a Q&A type of thing, right? And somebody asked him,
Kevin went away and googled moribund.
Moribund means at the point of death,
in terminal decline, lacking vitality or vigor.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody on Twitter asked here, like, I hope Gamescom is one of your other events. You did a very good job last year. And then Jeff replied, yes, I will still be doing Opening Night Live in August.
What actually was E3 Coliseum? Was that like a thing, like a talk show thing that he did or something?
I believe it was like a thing that like they would have like a big room where they would have devs come up and do interviews on stage and do like on stage presentations of their games. And that would be like days 1 through 3 of E3.
Now, is that something that E3 put on and they just hired Jeff to like host, or was it something that he created and produced as like his own thing?
I want to say something that I don't know who pitched it to who, but I think it is something that was entirely produced by Jeff Keighley, but it is partnered.
But it was like an official component of
E3. Yes, it was an official component of E3, and it has been for the last couple of years. I've not been to
E3. So I wonder if E3 will still do E3 Coliseum, but with someone else. Hey, get Greg Miller in there.
Ooh.
He's always looking for another gig.
Okay, so actually this is what I was going to pull up. So if you go to e3expo.com/E3Coliseum, they have a page that says
tomorrow,
E3 2020 launching
that's
Thursday,
tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow. And so tomorrow we'll see like
what
their
plans E3's are.
Yeah.
Is E3 in terminal decline? Because I keep hearing bad that everyone's
dropping
out. I think 100%. No one's going.
Yes.
Who's going? Who's going to be there? Microsoft?
No, I'm gonna read Borsen 00's question because he kind of touches on some of this.
Okay.
Borsen 00 writes in and says, "Good morning, Blessing and Gary. Jeff, quote, Mr. E3 Keighley is skipping E3 2020 and makes me wonder how dead is E3 this year. Between Sony not being there, Microsoft not being on the show floor, and the leak of journalist information, personal information.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, it was very bad. I feel E3 this year is at an all-time low, and with this news, can E3 even come back? This announcement is just causing all kinds of questions, like, will there be Judges Week this year? Will we see the next generation of consoles at E3 even, and can the ESA even create a satisfying E3 out of this train wreck of a situation?"
I would first of all take if you've been around long. I've been around since before E3. I used to go to E3 before it was even E3, when it was CES in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you went and got your games news before E3 came along. E3 has been in bad shape before. The one they did in Atlanta many years ago that I went to was bad. There was a point when E3 went through a massive contraction, and it was way, way smaller. It was like a little bare bones trade show for a few years, and then it kind of expanded again and it got big again. So E3's definitely like ebbed and flowed over the years. I think it's definitely in an ebb right now.
Yeah.
Sony's not going, right?
Nope, Sony's not going.
Is Nintendo going?
And then, that's a good question. Like they do their Nintendo Directs, but then I think they actually
we'll know more in 24.
Yeah,
this will be the show tomorrow. You'll have more information tomorrow.
Yeah,
but I do think E3 is in trouble. I think people are increasingly asking the question, why do we need it? Between Nintendo Direct and Sony and Microsoft, Microsoft could just so easily do their own.
Yeah, well,
event.
I mean, they basically do their own event, but it just happens to take place during E3.
I know, but I never understand the point of that. Like, if you do your own event, then you get to own the news cycle like all week. If you do the event at E3, you own it for like a few hours until the next company does theirs and everyone moves on to the next thing.
I think it depends on like what's the biggest announcement. And at that moment, everyone's looking into it.
Yeah, like if
that's when the most eyes are aimed
Yes, I get that. But Microsoft and Sony are big enough, and Nintendo are all big enough at this point that you don't need another reason to tune in. Like you should just tune into that.
But I just think that it's a game that they play, like who can have the most eyes, who can end E3, and then everyone be saying, well, like Sony won E3.
Yeah, like there's I feel like
Does that mean anything anymore?
I feel like there's a way you can harness that power, because Sony is not showing up to E3 in any shape or form this year.
Right.
Right. Microsoft,
they'll do so their PlayStation 5. They'll just do their own.
They're
going to
do their own thing.
Right.
Yeah, their own event, which will probably be like May-ish or April-ish, or like people have been speculating like this month, but I think at this point
it's a big tradition that Microsoft always does its big green Borg cube event at E3.
And I think that works for Microsoft, because especially with Sony not appearing at E3, Microsoft coming to E3, right? I'm saying that in quotes, because Microsoft is at E3, but they're not at E3. Like, they're not at the actual building at the event. They're doing their own thing that's happening during E3. Them activating during E3, I think, allows them to be the biggest news in a way where, with Sony not there and with, like, Nintendo kind of being in their own ecosystem and kind of doing their own thing, Microsoft coming out and, say, if they reveal just an enormous amount of details surrounding the Xbox Series X or whatever, like, other series models they might have, if they do that during E3 and then come out and you know, throw out banger after banger after banger game, like, I think they come out of that, you know, during this wave of news being the biggest news, and that wave kind of allows them to kind of shine bright. Because with that, right, I think we leave E3 thinking, wow, that was like a lot of news, and like Microsoft's coming out swinging, whereas Sony, for whatever they do, right, say they do an event in May for the PS5 reveal, right, the wave they're riding is the wave that they create. And so they have, like, whatever exclusives they reveal, whatever third parties come to show on the PS5, whatever features they have to show, whatever the price is, the model, all that stuff. That is a wave of their own creation that they're riding, and that will get eyes and ears because people want to know what the PS5 is. But I think there's validities in both strategies, but I could see why Xbox or Microsoft will still appear at that time.
I don't think E3 is going to totally go away anytime soon. And I'd be sad if it did, because the one thing I do, as much as I say, like, companies can go off and do their own events, there are many companies that would have a harder time doing that. And they feel like they do need to be part of, like, you know, they're part of something bigger that all the eyeballs are on anyway.
Yeah.
Like, for me, my favorite stuff is, and I think we all enjoy this, is, like, when Ubisoft does its press thing, and, like, that always goes off the fucking rails.
Yeah.
Whether it's remember Jamie Kennedy, that fucking train wreck from years ago, or, like, Mr. Caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
And all this wacky shit. Like, who's this fucking guy? Like, it's just all wacky. Like, last year we got the whole Keanu, your breathtaking, that all came out of
E3. Yeah. Yep.
Like, every year there's, like, some fun shit that happens. I'd be sad if that went away.
I feel bad. I feel like it's happening less and less. Like, last year was definitely a fun one because of Keanu and because of, what's his name, John Bernthal, his dog, him and his dog,
right,
during the Ubisoft thing, and, like, Ikumi Nakamura, like, her whole stage presence was awesome. But those are now becoming fewer and
that's
fewer.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, if the biggest audience moment is a guy brings, I don't get me wrong, I like, love fucking dogs.
Yeah.
Human beings don't deserve dogs. I love them to bits. But, like, if the biggest moment of your press event is someone bringing their dog on stage, you might want to look again at, like, what you have.
Yeah. I think E3 as an event is probably going to go away within, like, the next 5 years. Like, 5 years is probably what I'd give them. But I feel like what's going to keep them afloat is the fact that, like, even with Microsoft and EA and even Nintendo with their Nintendo Directs are doing things, like, outside of E3 and, like, Microsoft showing games at their own events, I think the fact that they're still doing those things around that time is giving a certain amount of attention to E3 that I think is valuable, but I don't know if that's going to be what saves them.
I'll make an announcement right now.
Let's hear it.
That may counterbalance the Jeff Keighley.
Your own E3. Are you doing the E3 Coliseum?
I'm not doing E3 Coliseum, but just as Jeff has announced that for the first time in many years he's not going to be at E3, I will now announce that for the first time in many years this year I will be at E3.
Oh.
I haven't gone for many years, but I'm going. Well, I'm not going to E3. But I will be in LA during E3 week, and I will be available for socializing and fun times.
Oh.
So hit me up. If you're going to be in LA
between
June 9th and 11th, I'm basically, like, I have to go down to LA all the time. I'm just going to pick that week to go down and do a bunch of, like, work shit during the day. I won't be at E3, but I'll be around.
Like, you have no interest in going if someone could get you a pass?
If you get me a pass, I'll go.
Okay.
But, like, not really.
If people want to keep updated on where they could find you during E3 week, where should people go? Your Twitter, I imagine?
Yeah, go to my Twitter, at Gary Witta.
At Gary
Witta. Can you put that up on the screen, Kevin?
Yeah. I also put, while you're at it, if you can go to Microsoft Paint, and then, I don't know if there's a type tool, or if you'll need to paint it out, but twitch.tv/GaryWitta for the people to see.
That's right, because they also need to go to get that premium content.
And you go follow, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Number three.
Wait.
Something else?
Yeah, does Kind of Funny have a plan for E3 yet? Like, do you know who's going?
I'm going to say we're probably going to E3.
Hey, maybe I should actually go to E3 because Snowbike Mike, I'm sure, will be there. Our Xbox podcast might be up and running by then. Maybe we could
make
actually
some great
go
Xbox
in and
content.
Get some check out the Xbox. I've never actually been to the Borg Cube. I've never been to the Xbox presser.
Very nice.
They've never invited me.
What?
That's
I used to be someone, Kevin. I'm not. Haven't been for a long time.
It's very disappointing. But yeah, I want to go to E3. I imagine I'll be going to E3 this year.
I just wanted the Chiron, Kevin. I didn't need you to go to my website.
What is going on here? Personal friend.
Now you're on my Twitch page. Oh yeah, that's how I get people to come to my.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's my Twitch channel. Personal friend of Greg Miller.
Really,
I think
funny.
After I changed that name to that was the lowest audience I ever got on Twitch.
So that's not helping you the way you thought.
Greg did not give me the boost that I hoped for.
That's hilarious. You should put like personal friend of Will Smith, honestly.
Which is true.
I'm very jealous of that. I loved Will Smith so much.
I like
talking
Will.
About the same Will Smith?
Well, I know two Will Smiths. That's what's
confusing. Yeah, I'm talking about the black one.
Yeah.
The more famous one. No offense to Will Smith.
The less famous
one. The less famous one.
I think Will would
he gets it.
He would give you that one, yeah.
Number 3. Oh, he did it.
Wow.
Twitch.tv/GaryWitta in paint.
This is so fucking low tech.
That's
it's unbelievable.
Awesome.
Now you can do that in 2 seconds, but you're telling me you can't turn an S into an F?
I don't know what you mean.
Fuck you.
I don't have that technology. That's niche.
You just showed me the technology.
But we have Photoshop.
All you have
office.
To do is paint over the C with an F. Like you've graffitied it. Do I have to do
have
your
cool
job
Greg
for you, Kevin?
That sounds like a cool Greg job.
The point is, you've got to delegate it. You've got to get these things done. I'm tired.
My chest. Of...
Kevin's gonna die by the time the show
I'm
ends.
The best thing that ever happened
I've
to Kevin, and he knows
I've
it.
Destroyed so
the amount of stress that Kevin's been put on
it's,
this
it's,
morning.
It's not stress. I just slept wrong. My neck is killing me.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
Number 3. NVIDIA GeForce Now is losing all Activision Blizzard games. A bad sign for cloud gaming. This is by Sean Hollister of The Verge. NVIDIA's GeForce Now feels like one of the very best ways to get a free taste of cloud gaming, but it's got a gigantic catch. It lets you play PC games you already own, only if the game publisher allows it. Today, NVIDIA is revealing that Activision Blizzard is no longer playing ball, pulling down its catalog of games, including Overwatch, WoW, and the Call of Duty series.
I mean, I won't be able to play Warcraft 3 Reforged on the GeForce Now?
Not
what
at
a fucking
all.
Tragedy.
That means one of the service's biggest publishers, as well as...
I might need a moment to compose myself.
You're such an asshole.
as well as its Battle.net catalog of games will no longer be available just a week after the service's formal launch. A launch that was already missing many games from Capcom, EA, Konami, Remedy, Rockstar, and Square Enix, all of which seem to have pulled out after NVIDIA's beta period.
I mean, that's a lot of big names.
It is a lot
that's
of big
a bummer.
Names. NVIDIA wouldn't tell us why this is happening now, but it's strange because NVIDIA previously told us it was contacting every publisher ahead of launch to make sure they were okay staying on. Did Activision Blizzard renege on a deal, or did NVIDIA fail to get permission?
Even though renege is spelled incorrectly here, you got that exactly right. Greg would not have got that. He would have said renege or something.
Oh, see, I was confused because I'd copied and pasted over this story, and I was like, I know the word renege. I just never seen it spelled out, and so I just assumed that was the right
spelling.
Yes,
it's missing an E, but you nailed the pronunciation.
Thank you.
I'm used to Greg like making all kinds of messes of different words.
Oh yeah, he powers through it. And whenever I get to a word where I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
Not a
I
great advertisement for the University of Missouri.
No, not at all. We're waiting to hear back on that from NVIDIA. Activision Blizzard didn't respond to a request for comment. And it's frustrating because the whole premise of NVIDIA's GeForce
what's
now.
Kevin
I'm like, it's just like, why are you digging at Greg for no reason?
Greg
just,
is getting all
he's not
the
here.
Cans
it's easy.
All
right.
The only thing more fun than making fun of Greg to his face is making fun of him behind his back. Sure. He's watching. Hey, Greg. I know you're watching, Greg.
I think you son of a bitch.
What?
I think he's flying.
Wasn't he flying last night?
He flew last night.
Yeah, because he was sweet
he's
about
on
coffee.
The ground in Vegas right now.
He's
I know he is.
Drinking the airplane coffee.
I'm a little bit jealous because I wish I was in Vegas this week for DICE. I'd love to be there. Many of my friends are there. I'm having a little bit of FOMO. I'm just acting out, Kevin.
Why don't you go?
I'm just being a little bitch.
Did you just
about
decide
it.
Not to go, or did you
I wanted to go, but like I've been out of town so much recently, and I've got a lot of shit going on at home. Sure, like, I couldn't get away. Mm. But like, I hate this time when all my buddies are like posting like fun pictures and having great times.
Hey,
and like,
at least you
I'm sitting at home in my fucking pajamas. Like, I want to be out having a good time.
But you get to do Screen Fest.
Don't rub it in.
And it's frustrating because the whole premise of NVIDIA's GeForce Now service is theoretically win-win-win. You get to take your existing game library anywhere. Game publishers get the same money and much the same relationship. I don't know what they meant to write there. And much of the same relationship with the customers who's buying those games from the same Steam, Epic, Uplay, and Battle.net stores. And NVIDIA gets to rent out access to a computer that simply lives in the cloud instead of on your desk at home. In a statement, NVIDIA says it hopes to work with Activision Blizzard to bring the games back, but the company confirmed to us that things are pretty cut and dried for now. You shouldn't expect them to magically reappear after a few days or even a few weeks. NVIDIA also declined to tell us whether it'd be open to sharing a slice of its subscription fees with publishers, citing the quiet period before its earnings. It's true that Blizzard, at least, has a EULA that specifically prevents users from playing a game on cloud gaming services, but that doesn't seem to explain this move. Activision's EULA doesn't contain anything of the sort, and again, Activision Blizzard didn't seem to have any problem with it during the GeForce Now beta. Gary, are you familiar, first of all, with what GeForce Now is?
Yeah, we talked about it on the last show.
Yeah.
And it sounded great.
But now it
sounds like less great. Like, why would all these companies be in on the beta and then drop out?
Frank Fritter writes in with a similar question. Good morning, Blessing and Gary. With the platform releasing just a week or so ago, NVIDIA's cloud-based gaming service is losing all Activision Blizzard games. This leads to a few questions and major concerns. One, does Activision Blizzard plan on launching their own service for cloud-based gaming, or are they wanting an exclusivity deal? Two, are we about to have another streaming war, kind of like what we have with Netflix and Hulu and every other service you can think of? Three, is the confusion of what games will be where going to be worse than digital games and companies having to pull them off marketplaces due to rights and other agreements? And four, when it's all said and done, which do you think you'll prefer, physical games, digital games, or streaming? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. So let's take this apart.
Take them one at a time?
Yeah. And I'm actually going to start with two, because I feel like this is where we were driving towards, right? Are we about to have another streaming war, kind of like what we have with Netflix and Hulu and every other service you can think of? And I
would say almost certainly yes.
Yes, because like I think Activision Blizzard removing their games from the service, I think, says something about where their heads are at as far as how they want their games to be treated, as far as like being on certain platforms, right? Because from what we gather from the article, right, they mentioned like it being a win-win-win, right? Like, you know, you publishers still get their games bought by consumers even if they're using NVIDIA GeForce Now, because GeForce Now is just pulling from your current libraries,
right?
And so like it's not like you lose any revenue by people playing your games on GeForce Now, which must say that Activision Blizzard and all these other publishers that were listed that, you know, decided not to have their games on the final service must see something there, right? Like, what if Activision Blizzard could get a deal with Stadia and have that extra bankroll in, right? What does that look like? And so, yes, I think certainly we'll have some sort of streaming war similar to Hulu and Netflix. And I think that's kind of unfortunate.
Platform wars have always been around. VHX versus Betamax. Like, these things have been around forever. And, you know, HD DVD, remember that, versus Blu-ray. This is just the next platform. And so, yes, there will be wars.
Yeah. And to go back to Frankfurter's first question, right? Does Activision Blizzard plan to launch their own service for cloud-based gaming? I don't think so. I mean, maybe though.
Why not? They're big enough to do it, to have the infrastructure. Everyone's got their own to play PC games these days, you got to install like eight fucking different launchers: Rockstar, Epic, Blizzard, Steam. You know, on and on. Stadia. Yeah. Well, on and on it goes.
I think for. Hold on, let me reread this. Yeah, as far as cloud-based, right, I feel like that's a bigger ask, because that's definitely like a technology thing of like, do you want to invest in servers? Do you want to invest in the actual technology and work that it takes to make that up? I think in terms of Activision Blizzard like wanting their own platform, like, I mean, Battle.net exists, and so like they kind of have that already, right?
They could just extend that brand into the cloud.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that maybe a company doesn't like the idea of having their games being on an infrastructure that they don't control. So let's say that you play Call of Duty on GeForce Now and you have a bad experience because GeForce server is having a bad day, you might think, oh, fuck Call of Duty. Like, it's not Activision's fault, but like it could, you know, they would want to be in control of the whole end-to-end experience.
And it's an interesting thing because PlayStation Now is a thing that already exists, right? And you can play I guess you can only play the games that appear on PlayStation Now, so that might be a bad example. Right. So, yeah,
I don't know why all the big companies aren't just doing deals with Stadia, because for all the problems that Stadia has had, the tech is good. Google has undoubtedly the best infrastructure for this. So why not just go with them? I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
See, number three here is the confusion of what games will be what games will be going where going to be worse than digital games and companies having to pull them off marketplaces due to rights and other agreements. I think yes,
like yeah, there's going to be there'll be more of that confusion for sure.
That confusion is going to exist. And then when all is said and done, which do you think you'll prefer, physical games, digital games, or streaming?
Digital games for me personally.
I'm with you there. I think digital games. I was a physical game person for the longest time, and that was partly because of I had Best Buy Gamers Club, whatever it was called, like the deal you got where you got a certain percentage off for new physical games.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great deal. But now that that's gone, and now that I have Amazon Prime, and so sometimes you can get deals with Amazon Prime for physical games. But all in all,
I don't like mucking about with discs every time I want to play a different game.
Yeah. That's
the only things I buy in physical now are Switch games, because the Switch system, the digital system, is so locked down with so many ridiculous restrictions. Oh, you're not the profile that purchased this game, so you can't play it. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like, just let me play the fucking game.
See, Switch is probably the thing that's kind of converted me, because now that I have it on the go, I find myself like having my Switch somewhere and being like, okay, I want to play Zelda, and forgetting that I own it physical and I don't have it with me.
Right.
And so the fact that it's a portable thing, I'm like, I'm just going to buy all digital, because then I don't have to worry about not taking.
Or, you know, you can get
game.
Yourself the little case that has the little pockets for all the game cards.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like that's also like, that's an extra thing to carry.
But it's so much nicer just to be able to flip through digital games. Yeah. And I have to open up the thing. I always worry that that little door is going to fall off one day.
I'm with you.
You know? So I like... What's that?
But it doesn't, that little door.
I know.
It's impressive.
It feels like it's on the verge of death.
You know what? You're talking about impressive Nintendo. You know what we started playing in the house this week? Ring Fit Adventure.
Oh yeah,
fucking great!
Yeah? I've heard great things about it.
It's terrific, and the bendy ring thing is actually really impressive.
I want to try
it. It looks like a cheap piece of plastic, but it's not. It's really well made, and it's really good, and it has these really fun mini games. My kid was having great. She's sweating and having great fun doing exercising and stuff. As soon as my ankle's fully healed, I'm gonna start getting into it. Everyone's having a great time with Ring Fit Adventure. If you're interested in that sort of thing, take my recommendation. Give it a try. You won't regret it.
Number four, EA will move Need for Speed development back to Criterion. This comes from Christopher Dring of GamesIndustry.biz. EA will return the Need for Speed franchise to UK game studio Criterion. Current franchise leader Ghost Games in Gothenburg is set to become EA Gothenburg once again, pending Swedish Union approval. The studio will refocus itself as an engineering hub supporting development across EA's portfolio. EA told GameStudio.biz that, quote, "The engineering expertise in our Gothenburg team, some of whom are architects of the Frostbite engine, is vital to a number of our ongoing projects, and they would remain in that location," end quote. As for the Ghost Games creative team, EA is looking to transfer many of the staff to positions at Criterion and other places within the wider organization. However, 30 roles remain at risk. Quote, "Outside of the engineers and those that we plan to transfer to other positions, there would be 30 additional staff in Gothenburg, and we would hope to place as many of them as possible into other roles in the company," EA tells us. Ghost Games has been the franchise home for Need for Speed for the last four games in the series: 2013's Need for Speed Rivals, the 2015 reboot, 2017's Need for Speed Payback, and last year's Need for Speed Heat. However, EA says it struggled to attract the right talent to Gothenburg to work on the series. By contrast, Criterion is based in Guildford, which is one of the UK's biggest game development hubs. Criterion is known for creating the Burnout series of video games and had previously developed two Need for Speed titles, 2010's Need for Speed Hot Pursuit and 2012's Need for Speed Most Wanted. However, in 2013, the studio downsized, with many employees moving to Ghost Games. A UK Ghost Games team currently exists within Criterion offices. At the time, Criterion was to begin working on new projects, including a canceled extreme sports game, which I remember seeing the trailer for that game and being like, this looks...
Oh,
interesting.
Was it even a trailer? I had no
idea. It was at an E3, but it was definitely one of those things where it was very early and you could tell, and it was very conceptual, but the idea of it seemed fascinating. To continue the story, following the departure of studio founders Alex Ward and Fiona Sperry in 2014, Criterion has spent the last 5 years supporting EA DICE on Star Wars Battlefront with its VR mission, Battlefront 2, and Battlefield 5. During that time, the studio has also collected three Games Industry.biz Best Places to Work to Work Award wins. Quote, with a strong history and passion for racing games and vision for what we can create, the Criterion team is going to take Need for Speed into the next generation, EA stated. Quote, Ghost Games have helped to bring some great Need for Speed experiences to our players. Consistently delivering that at AAA levels means we need teams with diverse skills in locations where we can continually support them and bring in new team members to join. Despite our best efforts to establish an independent development group in Gothenburg over several years, it's become clear that the breadth of talent we need to maintain a full AAA studio is just not available to us there. Criterion can also provide the consistent leadership that we need to continue creating and delivering new Need for Speed experiences for a long time to come. Quote, Criterion is a fantastic studio, and we're looking forward to adding their talented team and building a great future for Need for Speed. The engineering teams in Gothenburg are also vital to our ongoing plans across EA. So, a lot there. Mm-hmm. But at first, when I read the headline, there was a part of me that I was like, oh, cool, Criterion. I love the Burnout games. Like, Burnout 3 is one of my favorite games ever. Burnout Paradise. Actually, I can't remember Criterion. I guess they must have worked on Burnout Paradise. But yeah, like, the Burnout series, one of my favorite... Actually, I'll probably say it. My favorite racing game series. My favorite racing game franchise.
I knew I liked you, Blessing.
Yeah. Oh, Burnout's amazing. But the thing is, like...
What's your favorite?
Of the Burnout games?
Yeah.
Burnout 3 Takedown. Followed by Paradise.
Yeah, Takedown, man.
Takedown is awesome.
Traffic checking.
Oh,
that was the best.
Well, that was Revenge. Revenge was
oh, Revenge.
Added,
that's right.
That was one that added the traffic.
Burnout 3, Takedown, and Revenge.
Yeah.
Were my two, and I love Paradise as well. But those two were my favorite.
Yeah, Burnout 3, Takedown was the one that like had the road rage mode. And,
yes.
And that was the one with the really great crash mode.
Yes. Oh, that crash mode was
so
fantastic.
Good. It's wonderful. The thing with this also though is that like the Criterion of that day is different from the Criterion now. So like you know, even though I want to believe that this is going to be, and I'm sure like this is a great move in a lot of the details, right? It seems that at the core of this, you know, Guildford, where Criterion is located, seems to just be a better location as far as fostering a studio. And so
it's a very nice town.
Yeah. I mean, have you been to Guildford?
I have. Bullfrog Productions back in the day used to be based there, back in the early days of Peter Molyneux and Populous and all that kind of stuff. I used to go there when I worked on 16-bit game magazine. So a lovely little thing, city. Yeah.
And it seems for them like that's the thing, is that place, that city is going to be great for fostering that studio, being able to build with more people, and actually like have growth and be able to you know, allow that studio to make good Need for Speed games. And so hopefully this results in better Need for Speed games. Over the last generation, I've not necessarily had the best faith in Need for Speed.
And nor should you have. Look, I'll tell you the reason why they've struggled to attract, as they say here, the right talent to work on the series. Because nobody gives a fuck about Need for Speed. Mm. I certainly don't. Do you remember Need for Speed Rivals? Well, how much do you remember about that? Need for Speed Payback? What do you remember about that?
That was not good.
Need for Speed Heat, which just came out. How much of an impact did that
Rivals
make?
I only remember because it was a launch window game. And so I remember it. Like, I remember seeing the trailers and being like, this looks cool. But at the launch, like, it didn't necessarily have that fire.
I remember the original Need for Speed. Mm-hmm. The very, very first one. It's been around forever. It's a storied franchise. They must continue. They must sell enough of them that EA keeps going. They would ditch it. They ditch franchises all the time if they underperform.
Yeah.
So they must still be chugging along making money.
I think they make enough money for how little effort it probably takes for it.
When was the last truly memorable Need for Speed game?
I'll tell
you which one it was. Need for Speed 2 Hot Pursuit on the PS2.
That's also a good
That
one.
Was the last one that I remember that I gave a shit about. And I've played them on and off. So I played Payback. Got like three missions in, got bored. Mm-hmm.
This generation has been a bad generation.
And yet here we are, Blessing, still talking about Burnout games from 20 years ago. This isn't difficult, EA. Bring back Burnout. That's what the people want.
I want them to do it so bad. And it's one of those things where when they put out the remastered version of Burnout Paradise, I was like, here we go. They're thinking about it. Like, there's a chance that like that they'd want to go back to it. But I imagine what it is probably that the name recognition of Need for Speed is so strong that they probably don't see it worth going back to Burnout, which is like a sad thing for me because Burnout superior in every single way.
That to me just tells me that EA fundamentally doesn't get what we want.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get what we want. The EA, it's really simple. Just do what me and Blessing want. It's really simple because we represent the people. Nobody gives a fuck about Need for Speed.
Even if it's just like a remaster or like remake of Burnout 3.
I mean, they did the remaster of Paradise, which I loved.
Did, yeah.
But like, Bring back traffic checking. Bring back crash mode. Bring back road rage.
Oh, man.
Bring back DJ Atomica.
Yes, DJ
bring
Atomica.
Bring back the shit that we
oh
want.
Oh, my God.
It's sitting right there. It's laying fallow in your archives right now. I guarantee if that news, if EA announced that they were bringing back Burnout, I don't care what day of the week it is, Widow Wednesday or what the fuck ever, I am in here fucking flipping this table over, going, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm just like fucking losing my shit because it's what I want. It's what I want, EA. Fucking
I'm with
get
you.
On it.
I'm with
it's
you.
Right, it's right in front of you. It's so obvious. Criterion, the developers of Burnout, are there. They're working with you. They're making racing games.
And here's the thing. I play Dangerous Driving. Are you familiar with Dangerous Driving?
Yes, that was the one that a bunch of... The Criterion guys want to make Burnout so badly,
like,
that a
bring
bunch
those
of them
guys
left
in.
And made a Burnout clone. They so badly want
to
do it.
And the heartbreaking thing is playing Dangerous Driving, I was like, this so badly wants to be Burnout, and I so badly want this to be Burnout, but
it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, it doesn't have the budget and like,
yeah, it doesn't have the high budget.
Yeah, it doesn't
it
have
the
high the budget.
Production values.
Bring in... I think they're Three Fields Entertainment. I think that's the name of the studio. Bring in Three Fields. Let them work on it. Let them do it. Please.
Oh my
they
God,
wanna
it
do
me
it.
So crazy. It's right there. Look, you've got Criterion, right? And they're legendary for making the Burnout games. That's the thing that they're known for. EA has them and they have them working on something else. It's like Gordon Ramsay coming to your house, Blessing, and saying, I'm here, you've got me for the next 24 hours. What do you want me to do? What you would say is, well, cook me a wonderful meal. Mm-hmm. But it's like saying to Gordon Ramsay, well, fucking put up some wallpaper for me.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck would you ask him to do that? That's not what he wants to do. That's not what he's good at. He could cook you a gourmet meal. And Criterion could be cooking us a gourmet Burnout meal right now. Instead, EA's got them fucking putting up wallpaper.
You hate to see
it. Get your fucking head straight, EA.
You hate to see it. Number 5, I have some quick hits for you. Firstly, announced on Twitter, Neo 2 has gone gold. It's out March 13th, and so be excited for Neo 2. If you're are you familiar with Neo?
I know of it. I've never played it.
I tried the demo when Neo 1 came out, and I was like, this game is very hard. It's very difficult. Let's see. Fraser Brown of PC Gaming, or PC Gamer, writes, Monster Hunter World Iceborne is getting a pair of new angry monster variants. Monster Hunter World Iceborne's next free title update will send its diligent monster slayers to get beaten up by a new pair of tough customers, both with epithets and that suggests they're always in the mood
Greg
for a fight.
Would have fucked that up as well. Epithets.
Yeah, epithets. The raging Brachydios is
Brachydios.
Is a nasty slime dragon with explosive saliva. This extremely angry variant likes making things explode even more than the regular version. And judging by the trailer, its attacks are going to fill its den with lava that might make things tricky. And then it's joined by furious Rajang. A big old horned gorilla that crackles with electricity. So there you go, Monster Hunter fans. You got two new monsters to hunt. And then lastly, Dean Takahashi of VentureBeat writes, Ubisoft reveals VR escape room Prince of Persia, the Dagger of Time. Ubisoft is taking the idea of the virtual reality escape room and running with it. The latest example is this new VR experience, Prince of Persia, the Dagger of Time. The co-op, honkies are on our end. The co-op adventure is based on the classic Prince of Persia video game created by Jordan Mechner in 1989. It is the third location-based VR escape room from Ubisoft, the big French video game publisher that has also...
There's no information of like, is it out yet? Is it in development? What platforms is it available? There's no real information here.
I don't know. Yeah, they copy over a lot. I was trying to make them quick, but go over to VentureBeat if you want to see more info on that.
But I'm excited but I don't think Prince of Persia is coming back in any form. I love Prince of Persia.
In an interesting form, right? VR escape room.
Yeah.
Gary, I'm excited to learn more information about this Prince of Persia VR escape room, but it's maybe so far away or it's out right now. I have no idea. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Before we get to out today, I want to tell you about some of our sponsors. Today's episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt, especially if your credit score isn't great, is hard. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. When Greg moved to SF, he took out a loan, and the rate sucked. Upstart could have helped because Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. That's the next day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is top ranked in the category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Next, we're brought to you by Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers this year, have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost, because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes on those savings directly to you. Tim got his mom this plan because she was getting overcharged for stuff she wasn't using. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door free, go to mintmobile.com/KF/games. That's mintmobile.com/games. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/games. Lastly, brought to you by Spotify, the besties. Hey, listeners, we know you love all things video games, so we want to tell you about a Spotify original podcast called The Besties. Every Friday, the creators of The Adventure Zone, Justin and Griffin McElroy, are joined by their two best friends and hardened video game reporters, Russ Frushtick and Chris Plant, to go deep on a single new video game. If you've been a fan of Polygon, you'll know these guys. They co-founded it. Plus, The Besties cover all major moments in video games in 2020, from new console launches to Cyberpunk 2077 and beyond. And at the end of the year, they do complete showdown pitting all the top games of the year against one another to get to the top game of the year. It's pretty epic. But the besties can't do it without their fans, who write in each week with all sorts of goofy suggestions. It's like a book club for video games. And listen, I'm a big fan. You might not know this. I'm a big fan of the McElroy brothers. Some of the most hilarious podcasters you can listen to. I was a big fan of the besties back in the day, before it came back bigger and better than ever. I listened to Bam Bam, McElroy Brothers. Hilarious, hilarious, hilarious podcasters. So I highly suggest them. You can find the besties on Spotify, which also has your favorite podcasts, including this one, and music, all for free. Listen to the besties free only on Spotify. Out today, let's see here. We have Fire Emblem Three Houses DLC Wave 4. Coming out for Switch, and then Super Mega Space Blaster Special Turbo.
I might have to check that out just
for
name.
Xbox One.
Yeah,
Kevin,
can we pull that?
Super Mega Space Blaster Special Turbo. That's all one name. That reminds me of like that one Disney XD show.
I also want to point out that while you were doing the ad read, a member of the Kind of Funny community did a screen fast graphic for us and sent it in. Yeah. As a thumbnail. Well, that's what I was asking you to do, and you were like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to do. Charles Jacobson.
I can't remake the graphic.
Kind of Funny best friend.
You're not listening.
Bashed it out in 2 seconds.
I can't remake the graphic because I don't have that file.
But the community does?
No, that's a thumbnail. Makes a fair obviously,
that's
the
all
thumbnail.
I want is a thumbnail. That's all
I
wanted.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to get the ice was saying the intro of the video.
Oh, like an animated thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yelling at me, not even knowing.
I'm just saying, if the community can do that in 2 minutes, just think about what you
could
do,
Kevin. Point,
if you just applied yourself and believed in yourself a little bit more, the way I believe in you.
He's got a point. New dates. While Kevin's pulling up Super Mega Space Blaster Special Turbo for Xbox One. 3000th Duel, the critically acclaimed dark fantasy Metroidvania starred by a masked hero with no memory, will be released on Switch on February 19th. And then Bandai Namco and NeoWiz have announced that free-to-play MMO action RPG Bless Unleashed will launch for Xbox One on March 12th. So you can stop tagging me in the tweets. I know that Bless Unleashed is a thing. People let me know whenever there's a new announcement about this game. And I appreciate it.
So this is the PS4 trailer, but I imagine the Xbox One version is the same.
Yeah.
No sound.
Do we need it? Do you want me to find the Xbox One?
It's all going to be the same. Yeah. It's going to be a port.
So these are cartoony characters, cartoony astronauts in space. Whoa, they just got blasted.
Okay.
Oh, no, they got picked up in spacecraft. So it's like
it's a little Geometry Wars-y. Yeah,
looking like an asteroids kind of thing. You're in a ship.
Looks like multiple players on screen, local multiplayer. Yeah, it's asteroids, blasteroids, you know, Geometry Wars.
Your old school.
Super Stardust.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
It's definitely one of those. Yeah.
All right. Cool. I get it.
Good name, though.
Yeah.
Is it a good name? Because I don't know if I'd be willing to type that in the PSN, PlayStation Store.
You get to Super Mega.
Super Mega is going to finish out, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point. Now it's time for Reader Mail. Remember, you can write into Reader Mail, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Mitchell from Canada wrote in and says, "Hey guys, please react to the new Feel the Power of PlayStation ad." And Kevin, this is what I sent you also, that just got released. This is some early PS3 era advertising if you've ever seen it. Fucking wild. Thanks,
what
Mitchell
is this?
From Canada. So, PlayStation released this ad for Valentine's Day.
This is a new ad.
This is a new ad that came out today.
Everybody's ready?
I'm ready.
Have you not seen 45 seconds? No.
Oh, man. You're going to like it. Make sure the volume's up, Kevin. This is for Valentine's Day.
Okay. I can only see a part of it because there's a fucking couch
in front of the
TV.
There is a huge couch in front of us.
Can you just be an adult?
We have a smaller TV.
Oh, there's a smaller TV as well.
But essentially, it looks like there's four soldiers. They're repelling down
into some kind of silo. All right. We're in some underground tunnels.
They got their flashlights. They look like a Rainbow Six Siege operation team.
Some actors. Acting. All right.
Yeah, they're creeping in. They're like in an underground tunnel. I don't have the remote for the TV.
Okay, crowbar the door open. Yep.
It's on your right.
Is it on my right? Is it on like the
all
wall?
The way, yeah, right there.
I don't feel like walking.
It's fine.
I can hear enough.
I can tell you what's happening too, auto like sound wise.
Because I feel like
I don't think I need a lot of sound to get what's going on right now.
There's like an eerie kind of noise in the background.
They're in some kind of lab.
They've got hearts.
There's hearts.
Yeah.
That are hooked up to pipes and shit. Sure. That's all weird. Okay, PlayStation.
The hearts are powering. The
PlayStations.
But like actual like hearts as in
like human hearts,
bloody human hearts, like organs.
Is this what Sony's fucking data center looks like?
I mean, you don't just get God of War.
All these human hearts are powering all these PlayStations.
The human hearts have like the
and they have the
symbols,
they have
like,
the icons on
etched into them.
Feel the power
fuck
of PlayStation.
What was that?
That's it?
That was their Valentine's Day ad.
I thought
there
was going to be something at the end to like, oh, that's clever.
No. It's just them being weird, which I really like this energy. I want them to keep this energy going to the next generation.
Sure. All right.
Does that commercial do anything for you? Do you feel like all of
it
a sudden
blow
being
me
a
away?
Person?
But you know, I like things like I like that they're doing weird things like that. Mm-hmm. Why not?
I dig it. Travis Rubinek writes in and says, "Hi guys, what is going on with Nintendo? It's been 160 days since the last Direct, and they have given us nothing. I would usually consider myself a rather patient person." But this is getting rather excessive.
Has it really been 160 days? That doesn't sound right. There was a Direct not long ago.
Yeah, they did Directs.
But specifically for like certain games. And right. So was there like an Animal Crossing Direct that they did?
They do those little mini Directs.
Or Fire Emblem Direct. They do like specific Directs for specific things.
They did a Smash Direct, right?
Smash Direct? Was that what it was?
Last time they did a big overall one?
They did a Pokemon Direct, though.
Is Pokemon what I'm thinking of?
Maybe. That's
probably what I'm thinking of.
Maybe he's talking about the last time they did like a big Nintendo-wide.
Yeah, that's definitely what he's talking about. If Animal Crossing hadn't been delayed, we would be months without. We'd be months into 2020 with absolutely no word from Nintendo on anything. With nothing officially dated to look forward to, is it possible that the original Animal Crossing delay, in part, was due to Nintendo recognizing they had nothing to say at the start of 2020? Is something wrong, or is Nintendo deliberately waiting to give Animal Crossing this much space? What is going on? Thanks for everything you do, Travis. I don't think it's the idea that if Animal Crossing hadn't been delayed, you know, we would be months without knowing anything. the reality we live in is that Animal Crossing got delayed, and so it's not the biggest of deals that they don't have a direct. That said, I think, yeah, like, we have something to look forward to, and so we're not necessarily in dire straits, right? Like, if you're in a place where, say, Animal Crossing really did come out last year, right, and we just had just a blank slate for Nintendo this year, then I can understand some of the worry. But yeah, I think soon we'll get a direct, whether before or after Animal Crossing.
Don't worry about it. I mean, I'm maybe less fussed about it because, like, I know Animal Crossing is coming. That's got a date on it. Animal Crossing is really all I need or care about, certainly in my household. We're gonna be buying 3 copies of Animal Crossing so that everyone can play it. So I feel like I'm good. But, like, it's not like Nintendo's sitting around listening to this podcast and going, oh, fuck, shit, yeah, we better make some games.
Yeah.
Like, they trust me, games are coming. Don't worry about it. You'll hear when they're ready to talk about it, they'll talk about it.
Yeah. They definitely have a plan for this year, but I don't blame them for waiting to talk about it.
We know there's some new kind of Mario Kart coming, right? They've hinted at that.
I don't know if they've hinted at it. Like, there have been rumors of, like, something they're working on with tires, which, like, you assume Mario Kart, but who knows? But, like, I'm one of the people that I don't believe there's a Mario Kart coming this year. I feel like it's a year or two too early still.
What do you think will be Nintendo's, I'm going to put you on the spot, make a guess. What do you think will be Nintendo's big holiday game this year, or games? We won't see Breath of the Wild 2 this year, right? It's too far off.
No, and I think, like, rumors and people on the inside have said that, like, yeah, they're aiming for this year, but even with that, I think
it's too early for an all new Mario.
I think it'll get delayed.
Well, right?
I think, yeah, it's too early for what I imagine would be Mario Odyssey 2.
What does that leave us with?
For holiday, I don't know, but I mean, I think before the end of the year, we'll get a new sports game, probably either Mario Golf or. Actually, I'm going to say Mario Golf. And then also, like, there have been rumors of Paper Mario, which I believe, like, neither of those are big holiday games, but I could see those happening.
Yeah, they're not top tier, but, like,
yeah,
but I'd be like, if they announce a new, like, Super Mario Strikers for Switch, I'd be excited about that.
I would be super excited about that. I think Bayonetta 3, even though that's not a Nintendo,
yeah,
actually, I think Nintendo does technically publish that game, but you don't necessarily think of that as, like, a core Nintendo game, but I think they could use that as a big holiday.
I think people would be excited about that.
Yeah, and I think it's about time for Bayonetta 3, and so I could see that, and maybe, like, one other thing that's, like, of that level. No More Heroes 3 is announced for this year, right? And so, like, what if fall was No More Heroes 3 and Bayonetta 2? Even though both of those alone don't sound like big fall games, I think both of them together could be, like, a nice 1-2 punch to make this feel like we're not.
Animal Crossing's coming this spring, yes. So, like, yeah, I don't know, like, if there's an S-tier Nintendo game coming this holiday, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was announced in, like, April, the year it came
out. There's plenty of time. And again, Nintendo's a very secretive company. The next Direct could have something. It's like, holy fucking shit. Like, we didn't even know they were making that.
Yeah. So I don't think there's anything to fear about.
No. I in Nintendo, we trust.
Now it's time to squad up. Tommy Boy writes in and says, calling all Call of Duty playing best friends. Call of Duty has added official clan support, and with the somewhat imminent Battle Royale mode, we are all going to want some best friends to drop with. So I have made the Kind of Funny clan, which is, I guess, called a regiment. When you join the clan, you will receive a gold gilded clan tag of Kinda and double XP when you play with your fellow clan members between the hours of 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, since Call of Duty is fully crossplay enabled, and because there's no way that I can see to search for the regiment you want to join, I will be making a Reddit thread when Greg or Blessing read this aloud. On the thread, I need you to put your username and platform. From there, I'll be able to add you to the regiment. I don't know the maximum number of slots in the regiment, so it will be first come, first serve on that. Hope to see you guys on the battlefield. Tommy Boy's username is TommyBoy601. I don't know if that's Reddit or for the clan, but TommyBoy601. That's
and this
who
will
is.
Be crossplay.
Yeah, Call of Duty is crossplay. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to see what we got wrong this episode. And oh boy, y'all are active in here.
What's going on?
People are talking
a lot of things
about,
wrong.
It's a lot of xCloud, Samsung stuff. The Anabiologist writes in and says the Super Mario theme park is called Super Nintendo World, which I think we know, but I think we just called it Super Mario theme park. Just because
I think people know what we're talking about when we say Super Mario theme park.
Let's see here. Not really, you're wrong. I'm not going to read it. There's a lot of additional information. I'm not saying actual you're wrongs about this stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm very rarely wrong, as you know.
Borson00 says the S20
I got early
Ultra,
in the morning to catch me out, Kevin.
The S20 Ultra is 1400, not 1500.
Yeah, you know.
Is that what is that the best you got?
Let's see here.
Is that all you got?
It's I think it might. No, that sounds right.
Let's see. Wait,
maybe it's 1600 with the 512 gigs.
Oh, this is a good one actually. G Dub writes in and says Microsoft actually just announced an iPhone beta for Xbox.
Yes, that happened while we were on the show.
Yes. In regards
so
to
is it
question,
possible that Microsoft heard what we said and instantly implemented that?
You're
absolutely
welcome.
Not.
Yeah, so a lot of people writing about that breaking news, which is why this is all.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, so Project xCloud is this is news that broke live on the show. Project xCloud is adding full iPhone support, iOS support.
See, OB2 writes in and says, Nintendo confirmed to The Hollywood Reporter that they would be attending E3 shortly after Sony dropped out of E3 2020. People are writing with breaking news about the Prince of Persia thing. And just wait until the end of, you know, the stories before you get into your wrong bag. Because
they can't wait to jump in, can they?
Yeah. More xCloud stuff. Criterion did work on Workout Paradise. Thank you, Nanobiologist. Okay, people keep tell every time I talk about this, people keep saying this, all right? And I'm going to call you out, all right? Ryan says, Blessing, it's been 6 years in May since the last Mario Kart. There was 3 years between MK Wii and MK7 and 4 years between MK7 and MK8. It's beyond time for a new Mario Kart, the mobile one excluded. Mario Kart 8...
It is time.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe came out with the Switch.
Deluxe doesn't count.
I think it counts. That's my whole argument.
Really?
Is that I think in Nintendo's mind, as far as like spacing out Mario Kart games, I think it counts. Because for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, that's when most people got their hands on that game.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a great upgrade.
Yeah.
But I don't think that counts as...
But
it's not Mario Kart 9, is it?
Yeah.
That's what we want.
But I mean, it's definitely what we want. But I think Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, if Mario Kart 8 Deluxe didn't come out at the beginning of the Switch, we would have gotten Mario Kart 9 by now. We would have gotten it within like the last 2 years. But the fact that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe exists means that they're pushing forward Mario, like the next Mario Kart, because they have that as like a placeholder. And so in the eyes of Nintendo, that's kind of what I mean when I say like, I feel like we're a year or so out before we get a new Mario Kart.
I feel like they wanted a Mario Kart game to launch the Switch with. They obviously weren't ready to do an all new one, and the Deluxe was the compromise.
And then Anon writes in and says, "You're wrong. Everyone loves Need for Speed. They need to bring back Underground. They do need to bring back Underground. And everybody loves old Need for Speed." And then Tommy Boy lastly writes in and says, "Tommy Boy 601 is their Reddit and gamertag, and so." Look for them on Reddit.
If they announce Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 3, which I don't think they've done.
I think they did the remake, like for PS3. I want to say I'm positive. I think Criterion worked on it. And it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't as good as like the original Hot Pursuit games. They did that, and I think they did like a Most Wanted remake.
Yeah.
Neither of which did it. They need a break from Need for Speed is what I think.
They do. Maybe they should rest it for a bit.
Tomorrow's hosts are going to be me and Tim Gettys. Gamescast, we're recording today at 2 p.m. We're talking about the most iconic portable Nintendo games. So that should be a fun one. And the cast is going to be Tim, me, Fran, and Imran. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Hold on. Don't lights back up. What is this? Parasite winning the Oscar and you're putting the lights down on me? Up, up, up. There
they're
you go.
They're up. They're up. They've been up.
Twitch.tv/GaryWitter, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'll see you there. And don't forget to come back at... Is ScreenFast going out live, Kevin?
Yeah.
12 o'clock Pacific, ScreenFast, me, Blessing, Kevin.
On Friday.
And
on Friday.
On Friday. And Tim. We'll be reviewing the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, and we've got some surprises in store for you. So you want to stick around for that.
Some surprises. All right, shake my hand. You can bring the lights down, Kevin.
Now you can put the lights down. Jesus Christ.